Hello and welcome to the Three Pillars Podcast. I'm your host, Chase Tobin, a.k.a. Tobinator the Motivator. The Three Pillars Podcast is that podcast that focuses on those three pillars of fitness, spiritual, mental, and physical fitness, to help us grow closer to the Lord on this journey that we call life. Guys, welcome back. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you being here for the first almost third of this year. I hope you survive St. Patrick's Day and put into effect what we talked about last week as far as St. Patrick and why we actually celebrate it. Make sure you go back and check out the episode I did with Leo on traditional femininity and all the other episodes we've done this year. They've been pretty awesome so far, at least in my head. If you guys don't like them, tell me. But if you do, drop a comment. Like, subscribe, share this show wherever you're at. If you share the show, that's how we grow. Whether you're on YouTube, Rumble, Odyssey, or if you're listening to this on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, iHeart, Pandora, wherever you get your podcast, you will find the Three Pillars. Make sure you check out the Three Pillars podcast website. You'll find the links there to my blog. You will also find links to the YouTube channel as well, my personal fitness channel, fitness motivation, workouts of the day, quotes of the day. All things Three Pillars are on Three Pillars podcast website, threepillarspodcast@wordpress.com. The links are down in the description below. Finally, please check us out on Good Pods. Good Pods is a podcast discovery platform that helps little guys like me get discovered. You can go on there. It's kind of like the Goodreads of the podcasting world. So make sure you check us out on Good Pods as well. Also, if you're on Facebook, Twitter, what have you, you'll find me there as well. So all that being said, all the housekeeping stuff aside, this week we're going to be getting into the book of Romans, specifically Romans 1, 18 to 32. The title I'm going to give this is probably No Excuses. That's what I'm going to get in with this episode. So no excuses. Let's get into it. Let's talk about it and see what Paul has to say about God and the creator of the universe and, you know, human depravity. We're going to get into that today. So we're going to start with a quick word of prayer as always, and then we're going to dive right in. So will you please join me? Father God, we love you. Lord, thank you for reprimanding us when we need to. That means you love us. Lord, thank you for guiding us and directing us. You are worthy of our praise and our adoration and our love and our worship. And we take that for granted because we fall into our own devices. Lord, help us to break free from those devices and to just solely focus on you and all that we do. All we have to do, Lord, is simply look around and we know you exist. Your creation is evident of a creator. If we just walk out and see the birds flying or the sky or the mountain sceneries or any kind of landscape, we know that this is not done by our doing, but by yours, Lord. And there's no excuses to not know you or to at least be drawn to you. We get in our own way far too often. Help us again to break free from that and to really refocus our efforts on you. Lord, I ask you to be with me today. Give me the words to say. Give anybody tuning into this the eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive anything that grows them closer to you. In the most holy name of Jesus, amen. All right. Romans 1, 18 to 32. It's an epistle to the Romans. It's been a cornerstone of Christian theology. If you're in church, you've probably heard snippets of this throughout the sermons. What he really gets into, especially in this section, is he's going to talk about sin, judgment, and righteousness of God. And it's just an overview of the human condition. What we're going to get into today is really just to dive into this passage kind of critically, and we're going to explore its historical context. We're going to tell you where it came from, why it's important, and why is it relevant today. So that's kind of what we're going to get into. I'm going to just read the passage first. It's a little bit long, but I can get through it, and you guys will bear with me. But some things he wants you just to pay attention to are, what is the human condition he's talking about in here? Why do we always fall into depravity? And I'll get into that as well. But right at the beginning, he talks about that there's no excuse to not know the Lord. So I'm going to just read through it, talk about it, and we'll carry on through per the usual. I'm going to be reading from the King James Bible. This is the Defender Edition. King James has got the expanded Apocrypha and stuff in the back. All kinds of good stuff. But it's your general 1611 King James. So we'll jump right in. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. Here's one I wanted to highlight. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his external power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they know God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The human spirit falls into depravity when we don't focus on God. Back to the text. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the nature, natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Just gut checks all around, right? The people in Paul's era, he was in a pagan land. Obviously, Rome was kind of not quite on its way out, but it was not very good for Christians, right? Right after, 70 AD is when the diaspora went. They went after the Jews and they went after the Christians right after that. So they started burning people alive in the streets. And it was not a good time to be a Christian or a Jew there in that period of history. It's around 57 AD that this was written. And again, this is his third missionary journey. So at this time when he's writing this, if you want to put this into context as it will, he was in Corinth. He's preparing to embark on a journey to Jerusalem with the collection of money for the poor believers there. This letter was addressed to the Christian community in Rome, which was composed of both the Jewish and the Gentile believers. So in Romans 1, 18 through 32, that we went through, he addresses sin and its consequences, as we just read, using the concept of God's wrath as a means of illustrating the severity of human sinfulness. The passage serves as a prelude to the following chapters, which discuss the righteousness of God and the salvation offered through Jesus. So as we read through this, you see over and over and over again, it was the people who chose not to follow the Lord and to seek out evil and to know that their punishment was sin and death. They did it anyways, and they took pleasure in it. So that's the overarching difference between Jesus and God, who is love, versus the earthly, the carnal, the flesh, which is lust. A lot of times we give ourselves over to lust, and that seeks to destroy us with all these perverse things we just talked about and we just read about in the text. Lust destroys, but love creates. When you're in lust, you fornicate around with, you know, again, you name the fetish that's out there, and it's probably a thing, okay? But at the end of the day, you're not creating anything. You know, man with man, woman with woman, you know, all these furry people, you're not creating anything. You're just giving into your lusts. And ultimately, it's self-destruction. Even things like, you know, alcoholism, drugs, just simply watching pornography, things of that nature, it destroys, because it takes you away from your purpose. Whereas love, the love of Christ, builds you up and helps you to restore your purpose or find your purpose, as it were. So that's why it's important to understand this. That again, lust is such a powerful thing because it just gives you that instant pleasure right now, and you're going to follow it because that's your natural human instinct. But to go against it, your natural human instinct, and to follow the Lord takes discipline. It takes self-discipline. Even if somebody's not, you know, whipping you with a stick, disciplining you externally, it takes a lot of internal discipline to follow Christ. That's why it's not a man-made religion, because if it was a man-made religion, why would it go against all the things that man loves to do? Put that in your pipe and smoke it. So let's carry on with the discussion. So what are the theological implications of this passage? First thing is sin and judgment. So again, in this passage, Paul emphasizes the reality of God's wrath against sin and the consequences that result from human rebellion. He begins by stating that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. That's right there at the beginning in verse 18. Paul argues that God has made his existence and divine nature evident through creation, yet people have chosen to ignore this evidence and worship idols instead. Paul goes on to describe the consequences of this idolatry, stating that God gave them over to their sinful desires. That's verse 24. This passage highlights the progressive nature of sin as people who reject God's truth become increasingly entrenched in their own sinful desires. Too often it happens that you find yourself, man, I am just above salvation. I'm too deep in this hole. I'm just going to keep digging and digging and digging. Now, let me tell you what, you are not too deep in the hole. You can be brought out of it if you will just turn from your wicked ways, repent, and find Jesus. He'll bring you out of it because he's there with you. He's not going to give up on you. But if you willingly choose to just cast him aside, then the hope is gone. You have to want to get out of it. It's not an easy path. If you're talking about drug addiction, there's withdrawals and things you got to go through. If you're talking about any other vices that are out there, it takes work to break out of that habit, but it can be done if you will just give yourself over and put your refocus on Christ and find your true purpose, not just existing in these desires, as it were, becoming deeper and deeper and deeper. Well, again, gambling, you know, pornography, lust, all these things are destructive. But the love of Christ, discipline, your foundation, that is how you build. See the difference? That's a theme here. He also talked about, you know, no excuses. That's kind of my theme for this whole endeavor. Just look around you. Look at a sunset. Look at a sunrise. Look at a mountains, a landscape. Go just see all the people and all the different people in the world. None of this is by our doing. It's by the creators, by God himself, carved out the mountains with a word. But people will make every excuse to turn away from him because it's easier. If it's easy, everybody would do it. But those who stay on the straight and narrow path and follow the Lord will be in paradise with him forever. It's going to take work. Okay, you're going to suffer. It is part of it, but you can find peace and reassurance that it's not going to last forever. You can get out of it. You just have to put in the work and refocus your efforts and follow, you know, pick up your cross and follow Jesus. The next portion, what is sin? What does it do? It dehumanizes you. It turns you into a primal creature, more like an animal than an actual image bearer, creation of the Most High God, right? So from 24 to 32 in this passage, Paul outlines this dehumanization that we just discussed, emphasizing the destructive nature of human rebellion. He describes the various manifestations of sin, including sexual immorality, homosexuality, and a lack of natural affection. That's 26 through 27. Paul argues that these behaviors are the result of people's rejection of God's truth and their descent into idolatry. Anytime you put something up on a pedestal above God, that's an idol of some kind. Now, I'm not saying your car is an idol thing. There are things out there that are truly the embodiment of evil beings that are out there. But that's a different podcast. Go check out the confessional. Shout out Tony Merkel. He just had a good one on this week about it. But you start worshiping these things that fill you full of lust, that fill you full of desires, that fill you full of all these other things. That is a type of idolatry. And that is not what God wants us to do. He wants us to follow him and to worship him. And he will give you these things. You can still be a Christian and follow Christ and still have pleasure and still enjoy the creation that the Creator has given you. But you can do it in a way that is not destructive, but a way that builds you up and builds up people around you. Your existence on this planet should be to build other people up, not to break yourself down and hurt other people. That is a lot of what happens when you fall into this this destructive pattern of sin. So there's no excuse that you can make. Oh, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm just hurting myself. You are. When you fall into some of these vices, you are neglecting everybody around you. If your sole purpose is to chase that drink, for example, you're not focused on anybody but yourself. Oh, but it's really I'm not hurting anybody. I'm really not. Maybe not short term, but long term. What happens if you get in an accident, you drink and drive, you hit somebody, and you take out a family, or a father, or a mother of a family? You weren't hurting anybody until that point. Same thing with drug use and everything like that. Or if you got kids and you're an alcoholic or into drugs or anything like that, that's detrimental because now you can't focus and function as a parent. You can't be a good neighbor. You can't help people out if you're strung out all the time, if you're drunk all the time. If you're constantly chasing that next pleasure from a man or a woman or whatever, you're not focused on your purpose. You're not building anything. You're breaking yourself down and you're being destructive. That's what Paul's talking about in this passage. He concludes this passage by stating that people who engage in these behaviors are worthy of death, not only for their own sinful actions, but also for their failure to acknowledge God. This passage serves as a stark reminder of the consequences of sin and the need for repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Another point I want to make in here is when it talked about the women. The women did change the natural use in which it was against their nature. They stopped just love and affection. We talked about traditional femininity 2 weeks ago. Women are designed to nurture. They're designed to support. They're designed to create and build and be part of that. If you're getting into the biology of it, I'm not going to give you the lesson. Go back to 10th grade health class. But they produce life with the help of the man, obviously. But that's part of their job, is to create and to nurture. But if a child is born to a mother who is not nurturing, that child's going to grow up not knowing what love feels like. But if a woman exudes the love of Christ into her children, not just, prosperity stuff, but, discipline them when they need to, but also love them and support them and bring them back up like you're supposed to, that child's going to understand what love is and be able to give it to other people. But when you fall into these destructive patterns, you can't show that love. You can't show that empathy because all you are is focused on yourself and that next high, whatever it is. There's no excuse. You're hurting other people, even though you don't think so. There's no such thing as a victimless crime. Somebody somewhere, if you really look at each of these cases, is getting affected in a negative way. There's some sort of neglect somewhere. I guarantee it. So for all you libertarians out there, again, this is not a political podcast. That's my issue with you guys. I was a libertarian at one point. I still have libertarian tendencies and conservative tendencies. But you have to have guardrails if you want society to move forward. Otherwise, it will implode on itself. Check beyond that. Relevance for Christians today. Why is all this relevant? This whole passage is a reminder that sin is real. It's a reality. It's all around us. And the need for salvation through Jesus Christ is even more real. The world needs him now more than ever. There's places in the world where you could be beheaded just for talking about it. But there's still Christians who persevere. You think you got it bad in the West because somebody calls, Jesus a name or says he's a weak body or something like that. Let that slide. That's not real persecution. You have no idea. But we've become complacent in the West. And it's time for us to really live out the mission of Christ. You see a resurgence, at least I see, maybe it's the algorithm, I don't know, in manly men who are on fire for the Lord, who are doing everything they can to wake people up and put them back on the path. That's what we need. If you want to change the country, that's what you've got to do. You have to, you know, there's a difference between tolerance and righteous abhorrence of evil. People doing wicked things. People coming into the country thinking they can just exist without any repercussion and have all the rights that the sovereign citizens do of the country. It ain't like that. Again, not a political podcast, but there's... Hit me up offline. We'll talk about it. I could talk about that forever. But the point is, there's no excuse. You need Jesus. There's sin in the world. You need Jesus. And he's evident. There's evidence that we have a creator just by looking around us. So this passage should challenge you as a Christian to examine your heart and recognize that sinful desires are going to reside within you. You're not perfect. You're an infallible creature. Or you are a fallible creature. The only one that's infallible is our creator. So these sinful desires, they're still going to be inside you, but you can overcome them through self-discipline. You have to, this really should be a call to repentance for everybody. And a reminder that living a righteous life is pleasing to God. This passage also emphasizes the importance of sharing the gospel with others. The Lord put it in my heart a couple years ago to start a podcast. I didn't know where he was going to take me with it. He just said, every week, drop a podcast. You got it. Aye, sir. I'm really good at that. Got a little bit of traction. Had people reach out to me. If one person comes to Christ through this podcast, I have completed my mission. But I think more people listen to it than that. But it's not about clicks. It's not about likes. It's not about followers. It's about the message. And eventually, it's going to get out. It's going to take off. People are going to hear it and be like, man, I need to get back into this. It ain't through me. It's through the Holy Spirit. You got to get back into this right here. Okay? So share the gospel. Share the good news. Share everything you know about the Lord. And then learn more each and every day, every week. Find a devotional. Go to church. Get in a small group. Get in a study group. Really pay attention during your sermons. Take notes. Highly encourage. Don't just show up and go through the motions. Take notes directly in your Bible if you have to. I lost my place. I got a little outline. Here we go. All right. So, again, we have to spread the gospel, and you have to understand that it's not just your sin. It's the person to your left and to your right. You can be an example. Maybe you're doing something that can help somebody else get pulled out of that trench. We talked about being entrenched in your sin earlier on. Maybe you can do something to help pull somebody out of that by your example. You never know what you go through just because maybe you have to help somebody else out later down the road. That's what a lot of these trials and lessons are for. God's really good at delegating tasks. Somebody goes through something, man, I can get out of this. I can help others get out of this. And not necessarily do it for a profit. That's a different podcast. You shouldn't profit off of your people. How should I say this? I don't think you need to profit off of people if you just know how to do something that's going to generally help them. If they want to give you something later on because you helped them out of a financial stick or something, sure. But I just have a hard time. If you're good at something, don't do it for free. I'm just a terrible businessman, I guess. I just think if you are good at something and you can help somebody, you can help build other people and be the best people they can possibly be, do it. You shouldn't make a dollar off of it. Again, unless somebody wants to toss you a check or something, but it's not really a different podcast. It's in the same lines. I'm just getting my thoughts out, guys. Stick with me. We are called to be witnesses of God's love and grace, sharing this message of salvation with those who are lost and in need of redemption. That's what this whole thing is about. Don't fall into depravity. Don't think you're so far entrenched that you can't help somebody out. We're all on a journey. We all have a story. We've all got something that's lording over us. That's a stronghold in our lives. Lord, free us from these strongholds. Break free these bonds and help us to be on that path of you. Pull us out of this muck. And he'll do it. If you truly believe and you're truly repentant, he will do it. So to conclude, Romans 1, 18 to 32. It is a truly gut-checking, it is a challenging passage. It highlights the consequences of human rebellion and our own depravity and sin, our iniquity that feeds the evil forces. That's what it gets down to. You know, people talk about Lou, should they talk about Monsters, Inc. with the fear and everything like that? That's part of it. We feed evil by our iniquity and our fear. But there's no excuse, because God is with us, the creator of the universe. We have a direct line to him, and he will help us. You just have to acknowledge that he's there and believe and accept him as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This passage, again, reminds us to live a life that is pleasing to God. Don't be like the people in this era, around almost before 70 AD, when everything really started crumbling. The Roman candles and whatnot, Nero burning people on the streets. We don't need that. We can prevent that if we are warriors for the kingdom. We are called to spread that message of salvation and recognize that all people are in need of God's grace and his forgiveness. His grace abounds. But just remember, Dr. Michael Lake said it one time, the grace of the Lord is not an excuse to sin. It's the power of God not to sin. So just because you are saved doesn't mean, okay, now I can go do whatever I want to again and say, okay, Lord, forgive me again. No, it helps you. The next level of grace is, now we're going to refine you. Now we're going to give you discipline. Now we're going to help you hone in on your purpose more and be the best you can possibly be for yourself and for others. So let's heed Paul's word here in Romans. Again, Romans chapter 1, 18 to 32. And let's live our lives in a manner that's worthy of our calling as followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's all I got for you guys this week. Thank you very much for tuning in. I'm Chase Tobin. This is the Three Pillars Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, let me know. Wherever you're watching this, wherever you're listening to this, let me know. If you're on Odyssey, Rumble, YouTube, I've got two channels on YouTube. One is my fitness, kind of my personal channel. The other one is strictly for the podcast. It's all on the Three Pillars Podcast website. Check that out. Check me out on Good Pods. Please share this show. That's how we go. Text it to your friends right now. Text it to your family right now. Share the reels on Instagram. Share the posts on to your story or on Facebook or wherever. Follow the Three Pillars Podcast page on Facebook and share it to your wall there. Again, I'm not doing this for likes. I'm not doing this for follows. But if you're generally touched by what you hear, I'm kind of fired up, because this is a fantastic passage. And it's gut-checking to me every day, because, again, we all have our own issues. But through repentance and salvation and grace and refocus and discipline, we can be the best people we possibly can be. That's what this podcast is all about. Spiritual, mental, and physical fitness. That's what we're all about. Oh, I'm all pumped up. So I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. We're going to end with a quick word of prayer as always. So let's jump right in. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for firing us up for you. Thank you for filling us full of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving us discipline. Thank you for disciplining us when we need it. When we're getting ready to step off a cliff, Lord, thank you for jacking us back off so we don't fall into our own destruction. And Lord, we most certainly thank you for pulling us up from our own depravity, from our own sin, from the trench that we have dug, the hole that we have dug. Lord, you pulled us out by your divine hand, whether it was through somebody you sent, a program, a podcast, whatever, or your own divine intervention. Lord, you saved us from ourselves, and you continue to do this every single day. And God, we cannot be more thankful every single day. Jesus, I just ask that you be with anybody tuning into this. Give them peace. Give them strength. Give them discipline to overcome whatever's in their life, and help them to be a light for you on this path, that when somebody sees them, they go, wow, that's what it means to know the love of Christ. I want to be part of that. Let them be a candle in the darkness, Lord. Show everyone there's no excuse not to know who you are and to love you and to receive your love freely. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Guys, that's all I got for you this week. Until next time, Tobinator out.